بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وخير الأمور أوازمها، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدث بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبالسند متصل منا إلى أمير المؤمنين في حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل البخاري رضي الله عنه وأرضاه، ونفعنا بعلومه وحشرنا في زمرته، قال: قال في باب قول الله: ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة، وأن أعمال بني آدم وقولهم يوزن. وقال مجاهد: القسطاس العدل بالرمية، ويقال القسط مصدر المقسط وهو العادل، وأما القاسط فهو الجائر. وبه قال: حدثنا أحمد بن إشكاب قال: حدثنا محمد بن فضيل عن عمارة بن قعقاع عن أبي زرعة عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال: قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: كلمتان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن، خفيفتان على اللسان، ثقيلتان في الميزان. سبحان الله وبحمده، سبحان الله العظيم.
الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، الله تبارك وتعالى has really honored us, and we should think about it a bit. To be sitting in this gathering on this Sunday morning is no ordinary thing. Where Bukhari Sharif has been taught, Hifz of Quran has been taught during the year, the other kitabs have been taught, and we get the opportunity just when all the inheritance is being distributed to be their part and get our full share of the inheritance. Like on a farm, all the crops were planted, the ground was cultivated, lot of work carried on, and then the crops grew and the fruit is being taken off and distributed, and we are just there. The whole time of the whole season we were not there, for all the hard work, the sand being toiled, the planting, the irrigation, looking after the crops, we were not there. Now just when everything is being distributed, the ready fruit, now we are there. This is by the graces of Allah, and now it is how much we will open our hearts that we will take from here. Otherwise, when the crops are distributed also, then those people who don't take anything, they just onlookers. They just came there and they just looked what was happening and they didn't take anything. They came empty-handed, they will go empty-handed. But if we keep our hearts open, and these great virtues which are on this condition, at this time, al-ibratu bil-khawateen, everything, it depends on the end. That is how the value of things are. Our lives also, at the time of maut, that is the most important. How the maut of a person comes. Whether he dies with iman, without iman. What level and what quality of iman. Whether he has lived and had his gunas forgiven, or he is dying going with gunas. It all depends on that last moment. So yeah, also, if our hearts are open and everything is being distributed, as it comes in the Hadith Sharif, that all this what we are reading, all this deen, is like Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, who has come with hidayat and with ilm. Like when it rains, the rain falls everywhere. But then there are certain pieces of ground that take the rain water in, and then they make things grow there. Grass, vegetation, etc. Fruit, crops, flour, whatever, wheat, etc. And people benefit from there. Then there are other pieces of ground that they don't benefit anyone. That ground is not such. But it dams the water. The water, puddles of water, Or we have the dams, big dams, natural dams also. Man-made dams also, natural dams also. And usually the rain of any place, the most important is where it is, where the water is falling in the dams. If it's falling in the other areas, that water just goes away. But when it falls in the dam, then the whole year the people get the benefit of that water. So that water is such that mankind benefits from that water, and from that water animals benefit. The farms are irrigated, so that is very beneficial. Then there is a third type of ground that is rocky and stony. It doesn't take the water in, it does not dam it also. So that water, it just goes for waste. Like that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained that in every gathering also, there are these three types of people. The one are those type of people who now when we will hear the words of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the words of Allah Ta'ala, we are sitting in the masjid where the malaika abound, and on such occasion where Hifz Khatam takes place, Bukhari Sharif Khatam takes place, the malaika abound in that place. And where people gather, مَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِّن بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ. Whenever people gather in one of the houses of Allah Ta'ala, يَتَدَارَسُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ, and they learn and teach the Qur'an Sharif, all the deen they teach. Or that they remember Allah Ta'ala, يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ. Then at such a time, إِلَّا حَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, the malaika surround those people. وَنَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةِ, and peace of reassurance settles upon those people. They feel peaceful, happy they feel. And that is in their heart, this great spiritual feeling they have. And the greatest of all these things, وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ, and they are remembered by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Imagine as we are sitting here now, Allah is boasting about each one of us, taking our names in front of the malaika who are the pure creation of Allah Ta'ala. So what a great honor. But that is when we also, our hearts are open and we realize it. If we are just sitting and we completing our sleep, for example, or we are thinking, planning what we have to do, what we have done, our minds are wandering around, then we are depriving ourselves. So either we are, our hearts are open and we are taking all this, then we will be those people like that ground that benefits itself also and makes others also benefit. Otherwise we could be those people that we don't benefit. And Allah save us, there are many such people who learn deen but they don't practice, but other people benefit from them. They teach it to other people, other benefit from it. Like the dams, etc. Then the worst of the three are that with those people whose hearts are hard and whose hearts are black with sin. We didn't make tawbah, and with our excessive sinning, our hearts have become hard also. And so those people, this rain is falling, the rain of hidayat, of knowledge of deen, and of hidayat, it is falling, ilm, knowledge. But if our hearts are like that, we don't take any benefit. And nobody else benefits from it either. So may Allah save us from that condition, and Allah make us, and this day of Khatam of Bukhari, especially for the people of Marlborough, mashallah, Allah has given this distinction to the people of Marlborough. May Allah reward Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, Mufti Adam Sahib, how many years ago they started this madrasa with the support of the community, the mutawallis, etc. And the madrasa is running, the community is supporting it. So this is carrying on. So that today it comes once in a year, the completion of it. And for us to sit for an hour, at the most an hour and a half or so, and we can get all that fruit. Just a matter of just opening our hearts. Just like on a radio transistor. At this very moment also, everywhere in the world, the airwaves of Radio China are also in the air. The airwaves of the Voice of America, of BBC, of the South African, our radio stations here, they are all in the air. What you just need is a transistor. And then put your needle on that particular place. Or like our receivers at home. You have the receiver there, but you just have to put it on the right channel, and then you can get everything from there. You can be sitting in the comfort of your home, especially for ladies, and just by putting that receiver on the right channel, you'll get all the, it will come through you. So like that, we are sitting here, but if we tune into the right channel, and we get the needle on our radio, on our transistor, on the right radio station. And this is not Radio China, or not Voice of America, but the voice of Allah Ta'ala, and the voice of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then we will get all that, and it will go directly into our hearts. But if we don't tune in, we will just sit here, and we will go, we came empty-handed, empty-hearted. Our hearts were empty, and we will go empty-hearted. But if we just tune in, we can get all the benefits. So may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, inshallah. Usually we sit and we come for the khatam of any madrasa jalsa, but we don't, seldom do we think of what the whole year, roughly about 200 educational days in the year. The year which has got about 360 days average, out of that 200 days are academic days. In that 200 days, what and what has transpired? The preparation of the sabaks, of the lessons by the ustad, the preparation of the lessons by the students, learning the previous lessons, and during the year, four seasons, naturally, one's health conditions also change. Sometimes you are well, sometimes you are ill, sometimes you are nice and fresh, sometimes you are feeling down and groggy, all different conditions. News of events from home, from around the world are also around all the time. All these ups and downs carrying on, but the madrasa will carry on all the time. The lessons will carry on. That is, and then at the end of the year, you can have the khatam, and you have achieved that. If we all fall prey to all the things, I'm sick and I take off for a week, that somebody is ill somewhere, or somebody has passed away, and I go and visit them, then we won't have time for lessons. Then we won't complete our sabaks, and the work won't. So we are not aware what in a madrasa, where the teaching, learning and teaching takes place, what and what. Lots of ups and downs, challenges which are there all the time. For all of us in our lives, everyone faces challenges. In the madaris also, there are these challenges. But when they persevered after that, the whole year, then we have this golden opportunity at the end of the year to benefit from the fruit of it, to take of the fruit of it. So, yeah, this is an occasion of the completion of Bukhari Sharif. We all have heard, mashallah, the reward. Maulana explained to us about the value of Bukhari Sharif, how Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah alayhi, had compiled this kitab, what great sacrifices he had made, what his great memory was, and what his piety and his level of intelligence. Intelligence is one thing, memory is another thing. And understanding, faham, to understand is another thing. Allah had blessed Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah alayh, with all these qualities. And he had gathered these ahadith, when we study and we go through it, very strenuous condition. Where and where he traveled, what and what he endured, and then he has given it to us ready-made. It is like we are invited somewhere, and when we enter there, we get the aroma of the biryani, for example, of the braai, of the roast, and everything is set. All it is for us to partake of it now. We don't have to go and grow the sheep or the chicken. We don't have to slaughter and clean them. We don't have to cook the food. We don't have to put it on the dasturkhan. Everything is done. It is said of two friends traveling, and the time of eating came. So the one friend told the other, let us now get down to our meals. Let us have meals. So for that, I will go to the shops to go and buy the things we are going to cook. You gather firewood from the trees and bring the firewood. So he said, I'm extremely exhausted. I won't manage that. So he said, okay. He bought the things from the town. He brought the firewood. Then he told him, now burn the fire while I peel the potatoes, slice the onions, etc. I wash the meat, etc. You burn the fire. He said, I'm too tired. I won't manage. So he said, okay. He burned the fire also, lit the fire. And then he prepared all the food. And then he started cooking. Then he told him, the food is about ready now. You lay the dasturkhan and put the plates, etc. We can eat. So he said, I'm very, very exhausted. I won't manage. So he said, okay. He put it down also. Then he told him, everything is ready. Come and eat now. So he says, I've been refusing you so much. I feel shy to refuse you more. At least this I will do. So anyway, he came to sit. But if we, when everything, the whole year, all the effort was done, we were in our leisure, we were in our business, we were in our comfort zones while the work was carrying on. Now when finally everything is ready, now we are offered just to come and eat now. Just then, this is a spiritual food. Not our other food, which will, most of it becomes waste and goes in the toilet. But this is spiritual food. And this is directly from Allah and through our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Let us not be now so lazy and so tired that we don't even partake of this. Allah give us tawfiq. So one particular great quality of Bukhari Sharif, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, he started his kitab in a very different way from all other muhaddithin, all people who have recorded the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many, many kitabs, not only the famous kitabs which we know, or many more kitabs which ulama know, but plenty kitabs. The Islamic literature is very, very rich, and there are plenty of kitabs. But Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi started in a very unique way of Babu, كيف كان بدء الوحي إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. That how did the wahi, revelation from Allah Ta'ala, how did it start and come to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. In there is a little bit of more explanation which is required also. It is بدء الوحي, the starting of wahi. And in such a conjunction of the words grammar, it is what in the genitive case. And the object is not how it started, but the object is wahi itself, revelation from Allah Ta'ala. That if we can understand, and that is important for us, for the students of Deen, the students of Bukhari Sharif, and all of us who are gathered here, that the most important thing in our life is revelation, wahi from Allah Ta'ala. We will find lot of challenges, lot of situations in our lives. And normally what we do, living in an environment of the kuffar, of the non-Muslims, going to the schools for 12 years till matric, then perhaps some tertiary education, university education, all that, and generally we are zero as far as Islamic the education is concerned. So we also think like that. So what is the one effect of it? Whenever there is a situation, there is a challenge, there is a problem, so where do we resort to? What do we think? We use, as it said in Urdu, ke akal ke ghore dorate hai. We let the horses of our brains gallop. Let them now sort out the problem. We think, what this is a situation, what must we do? Whereas for a mu'min, any and everything we turn to Allah Ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, any associate, any condition came about, he would go to the masjid. So like that, anything that is in the life of a Muslim, what does Allah Ta'ala say? What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do in such a situation? What did the Sahaba, the righteous and the pious people do? But seldom we think of that. May Allah save us. If there's any emergency now that happens now, somebody gets a heart attack, for example, Allah save us all. There is a fire. What will we all do? We'll say what we have to do. Get the doctor. Get the paramedics. Get him to hospital. Or the fire, get the fire extinguishers. Get the fire department. Let the fire brigade come out. And who of us will think, let us make two rakats of namaz. That the whole situation is under the control of Allah. The paramedics cannot do anything without the will of Allah. Doctors, medicines, fire brigades, all can do nothing without the will of Allah Ta'ala. But we as Muslims, we also won't think that I have to turn to Allah. So yeah, Allah, that is what Imam Bukhari is emphasizing, that when you want to start learning deen and you want to study Bukhari Sharif, the first thing you have to do in all your matters, turn to Allah. The wahi, revelation which Allah has sent down, that is the most important. And all your solutions are by Allah Ta'ala. You will fail if you want to try and find the solutions yourself. Your own thinking, your own logic. And one of the main reasons for that is that our thinking is limited to this world. The worldly life, the things that we see, perceive, with our eyes, our feelings, the five senses, hearing, touching, smelling, etc. So ours is limited to that. Wahi is far beyond that. Wahi starts where our minds can't work anymore. Where our minds come to a point where they give up and they can't do anything. Wahi starts from there. Our thinking in all our matters is only until the time of mort. That up to that time, we see also, may Allah save us, if we have any sick person in the family, the person is in hospital or is at home and he's critically ill, perhaps in pain also, Allah protect us all, in difficulty, all the attention is given to that person till mort. Once he dies, then we say now he's relieved also. Now he's in peace. But is he in peace or not? Now things haven't come to an end. Things have started now. The real life, so the non-Muslims, and unfortunately we also think like them. We think mort came, everything is finished now. Distribute his inheritance. And perhaps his room was made up at home like a hospital room. He was so ill. We had all machines there, everything. Now sort it all out, he's gone, it's finished. No, it's not finished, it has started now. And just like that, where our minds and our aqal, our brains come to an end, the wahi of Allah starts from there. So wise is that person who submits to the will of Allah, the wahi from Allah Ta'ala. And with this is now, there's a knowledge that is being acquired, the knowledge of wahi. So this is the learning process. So the students of deen particularly, who now graduate as ulama, the girls as alimas. Now for them it is that everything we think according to deen, according to the commands of Allah, we have to do things according to that. We don't use our own thinking. We don't use our own reasoning, our own experience also. What we see, what is the command of Allah Ta'ala. That is what we have to do. Just to give one short example, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had passed away, he left this world, it was such a situation at that time. The sorrow, the sadness at the passing away of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam cannot be explained. Till today now, when we think of the passing away of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam after 1400 years, and after perhaps far away 10,000 kilometers roughly, from Medina Sharif, but we feel that pain now also. And we think of the time of the passing away of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So how was it on the people of Medina Sharif, the Sahaba, on his wives, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, particularly says, Subbat alayya al-masa'id, that what difficulties have been put on me, that these, the hardship, the sorrow I feel at the passing away of Allah's Nabi, my father, and how close Hazrat Fatima was with Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She felt it the most. She says that sorrow, had it come down on the days would have become nights. So difficult it was. So that was the condition of the people and the family members. Then was the question of Khilafat at the same time. There had to be a new Khalifa appointed. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was the Khalifatul Muslimin. He was in charge of everything. Now their new Khalifa has to be appointed. So that mashuras were taking place. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's janazah had to take place. Ghusl, kafan, dafan, and then burying Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, that had to take place. Then the crusaders, the Roman Empire, had sent an army of 200,000 people to come and destroy Medina Sharif. They thought that this is a good time when they are so vulnerable. This is the ideal time to launch an attack upon them. So that was another thing, the fourth thing. The fifth thing, there was Musaylamatul Kadzab. One person, Musaylama, who claimed Nabuwat, who said that he is a Nabi of Allah. So he had to be sorted out. There can't be any Nabi after our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He was the last Nabi. Then sixthly, there was the Mani'een Zakat. Those people who refused to give Zakat now. They say we won't pay Zakat. So all these, now these were conditions. And it enveloped the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum also. They thought, and just before that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had prepared the army of Usama, Zayd ibn Usama. And he was a young man of 17 years. And he was dispatched by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam just before Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam passed away. This army of about 30,000, in which Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also in that army. And a man like Sayyidina Umar was under a young Sahabi, 17 years old. Nabi alayhi salam is sending. They just reached their first halting place and they got news that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had passed away. Now mashura, should we go back for the janazah? What will we all say if we had been sent on a mission by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? But now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has passed away, and what we will make mashura? What must we do? Must we carry on with our mission? Must we go for the janazah? What will be our opinion? Go for the janazah. That will be generally what we will say. So that was one condition. And generally the Sahaba also gave preference to that. There was one man, Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that did not look at the circumstances and the environment. He looked at the law of Allah. That this army was sent by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it cannot be called back. This army will go. Even Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that Medina Sharif is Waji Mutahharat Ummahatul Mu'mineen. They are here. And 30,000, there was literally only women and children left in Medina Sharif. Almost all were sent in this army. And 200,000 are coming from the Roman Empire, the Crusaders. They will completely annihilate, destroy Medina Sharif. But Hazrat Abu Bakr, what did he say? Radiallahu anhu. He says that even if the lives and the bodies of Ummahatul Mu'mineen, of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, all the great wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mothers of the mu'mineen, if they have to be killed and their bodies are lying on the streets, and the dogs and wolves from the jungle come and eat them, I can tolerate that. But I can't tolerate one small change in the deen of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The people who are not giving zakat, he said, forget them not giving zakat. Even if they just give that piece of string with which you fasten the camel, if they say and zakat, they to give that in zakat, that small, insignificant, we will say. If they don't give that, I will wage jihad with them. But the deen of Allah, I will not accept any change in it. So that is what is being emphasized by Imam Bukhari, that we look at wahi. That is the most important. Today, in all our matters, we look at environment, what the people will say, what the repercussions will be, what the backlash will be, what if this happens, what if that happens. The real is that you see nothing, a mu'min, he sees the command of Allah. If you please Allah and you fulfill, conditions are fully in the hands and control of Allah. Nothing is in our hands. So that is what is being emphasized by Imam Bukhari, that the most important thing in your life, see the wahi of the of what has come down. So that is what we have to. And there are two types of wahi. One is what is called wahi matlu. That wahi which is recited, that is the Quran Sharif. All the commands of Allah in the Quran Sharif. And wahi ghair matlu. That wahi which is not recited how Quran Sharif is recited. That is the Hadith Sharif. So both these, and the Hadith is the explanation of the Quran Sharif. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi says that the Quran Sharif is more in need of the Hadith compared to what the Hadith is in need of the Quran Sharif. A person can have the whole understanding of deen, proper understanding, if he studies Hadith Sharif only. And if he only studies Quran Sharif without the Hadith, he will never get the correct understanding of the Quran Sharif. To give an example, one person going to the masjid and taking his girlfriend with, and then he takes a picnic basket with him also. And then he eats everything what is in the picnic basket. He doesn't leave anything. And he doesn't make namaz also. And he says, I'm a pious person. He's going with a girlfriend, going to the masjid, going with a picnic basket, eating everything, leaving nothing. And he doesn't make namaz. And he says, I'm so pious, I'm following the laws of Allah. I follow the commands of Allah. He said, where is this? How can that be? So he says, haven't you read in the Quran Sharif? Allah is addressing the believers. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. O believer, khudhu zinatakum. Take your beauty. What is meant by beauty here? Your Islamic dress. And the most important in your Islamic dress, wa libasu taqwa. Khair. Taqwa is the most important. That is what you must take when you go to the masjid. Your proper Islamic dress, your proper Islamic attire and attitude. But he took the meaning of zenith as beauty. And a person, when he marries, his wife is the most beautiful. Till she has one or two children. Then he starts looking at other women then. Then others are beauty. Now he has girlfriends and they are his beauty. So he says that though my wife is no more beautiful, so I don't take my wife, I take that other beauty who is beautiful in my eyes. And Allah says, take your beauty with you. And the kulli masjid, every masjid you go, take your beauty with you. And if the wife's or that girlfriend's name is Zinat, then even more he's got dalil and proof that Allah says you must take Zinat with you. Whenever you go to the masjid, khudhu zinatakum, and the kulli masjid you. And what must you go and do there? What he says? Wakulu, washrabu, and eat and drink. So I brought my picnic basket also. And I don't leave anything, Allah says, wala tusrifu. Don't let anything go for waste. Must eat everything. And Allah says also, wala taqrabu salah. And don't even go near namaz. So I don't make namaz. So everything out of context. So like that, if we learn, we'll get the complete wrong picture of deen. And unfortunately, that is what is in vogue today. Most of our people, we are learning deen, not what the hadith has explained what the Quran Sharif tells us. We are making our own meanings. And this is our learned scholars, scholars for dollars. This is what they are doing. That they are changing the Quran Sharif, using the words of the Quran, and in fact now the instances have come where they are changing the words of the Quran. For example, in the Quran Sharif, Allah says, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ makes mashura. Nabi Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, make mashura with the Sahaba. So there is no qiraat which says, وَشَاوِرْهُمَا. But they are changing the words also of the Quran, which is called tahreef. And one is the meaning you change. That is also not permitted at all. Only that meaning, tafsir of Quran, any person who gives his own opinion of the Quran Sharif. And he did not study it, he's just giving his own opinion. And it is correct also his opinion. But that is also wrong. You are not allowed to venture into the field of giving your own opinion. You must follow what the ummah has agreed on and what the meaning of the Quran is according to the hadith. For example, one person is listening to music. We were traveling in Saudi and the taxi driver put on music. So we explained to him, it's not right, put it off. So what he immediately retorted, wa ayat of the Quran Sharif. A taxi driver also knows the Quran Sharif. And what he said that Allah says, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكُمْ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. And don't forget your share of dunya, your enjoyment of dunya. Whereas that ayat means, don't forget to prepare for akhirat. While you are in dunya, don't get so involved and engaged in dunya, and you don't prepare for akhirat. But what meaning he took? He took the meaning that in this dunya, your enjoyment that you want, your fun, all haram, music which is totally haram. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam declared, I've come in the world to destroy musical instruments. And in Hadith Sharif it comes that music causes hypocrisy in the heart more faster than a plant that grows in the desert. And if there's a rainfall, which is seldom in the desert, but with a rainfall overnight, that plant grows 3-4 meters. More faster than that, music causes hypocrisy in the heart. It comes in the Hadith Sharif that music is the ruqiyatu zina. It is a stepping stone of zina. When you listen to music, your heart becomes inclined towards adultery, towards haram. So that is, but now you're proving that all that haram from the Quran. And you say that la tansa nasibakum min ad-dunya. Don't forget your share of dunya. One person says, for man and woman to eat together, intermingling of sexes, which is another big fitna of our time. So much so, that not only ulama, but our students write a kitab, that it is permissible for intermingling. And all, there is no parda. In that kitab they have explained, there is nothing like what hijab and parda, that you can mix with one another. So, and what ayat, we were in Jamaat, and an Arab told me, one of the emirs of one place, he says that intermingling is permitted by Islam. And what is the fun if you're having a function at home, family is getting together, there is a wedding celebration or any other thing, and the women are separate and men are separate, he says there is no fun. But when all the men and women are together, laughing, talking, giggling, making jokes with one another, he says, then there is fun. He says, what you people have made of parda, man one side, woman one side, he says, that is not right. And then he uses an ayat of the Quran, La junaha alaykum an ta'kulu jami'an aw ashtata. There is no guna on you that all of you men and women sit together and eat, or that you eat separately, man one side, woman one side. Whereas the actual meaning of that ayat is that the Sahaba were trained in such a way that they would not eat without guests. They had to have a guest when they ate. So one Sahaba did not have a guest and he did not eat that night. And he, so difficulty, no, you don't eat, you feel hungry. Allah revealed this ayat. You can eat with the guest, or if you don't have guest, you can eat without the guest also. Now, what is the meaning of the ayat, and what meaning they take out? Like this, any and every person, if we are not guided by wahiyya ghair matlu, that is the hadith, we will also change the meaning of the Quran Sharif. And that the Quran Sharif itself testifies to that. Where the Quran Sharif says, يُذِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. With the very Quran Sharif, Allah guides many people to righteousness. And with the, on the same token of the Quran Sharif, people are misguided and they go into destruction. Allah says, وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. There are people whom Allah makes to go astray in spite of having the knowledge of Quran and Hadith. And there are big, big people that we can say, big with inverted commas, who have gone astray, whether it's Maududi, whether it's Qadiani, whether it's the Shias. The Shia ulama also have knowledge, but they are all gone astray. And they launch curses on the Sahaba. So what kind of knowledge is that? So in spite of having the knowledge, so we also have to be afraid. And this year all comes in the necessity of explaining this to the people and taking the names of those people who are making us go astray. And that does not come under ghibat, but it comes under, it's a farz to expose such people. If somebody asks you for your daughter in marriage, and you know that person, or you ask somebody, what do you think of this boy? He's proposed for my daughter. And you know he's a drug addict. You know he doesn't work. You know his bad habits. And you say that I can't speak bad about somebody. And I can't make ghibat. If I tell you that he's a drug addict, I'll be making ghibat. That is haram for you. That is mudahana. At that time, to speak of it is a faras at that time. If somebody, you know somebody is going to rob somebody, is planning to kill somebody, and you don't warn that person, be careful, this person, I've got proof, he wants to harm you. And we say that, no, I can't speak bad about somebody. People who are killing the deen of Allah Ta'ala. People who are aiding those people who are killing the Muslims in the world. And we say that, no, you can't speak bad about them. There it is farz to speak. And if you don't speak, you are guilty of a great crime. Anyway, so this wahi ghair matlu is the wahi. We do everything according to wahi, revelation from Allah Ta'ala. And it is the Quran Sharif will be understood only according to the teachings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the whole kitab now, Bukhari Sharif, Imam Bukhari Rahmatullah Alayh, has explained the whole of deen. This kitab is called a jami'. Technically, a jami' means a kitab that explains the whole of deen. Not only about namaz, or not only about iman. We have many kitabs written. Some are just written on parda, for example. Some are just written on music, for example. But this kitab, Bukhari Sharif, covers the whole of deen. So after Babul Kayfa Kana Badul Wahi, then Imam Bukhari, the first hadith he brings, like most of the muhaddithin, innamal a'malu bin niyyat, that all actions will be judged according to intention. For what did we study? Not only this 1 year of Bukhari Sharif, but 4, 5, 6 years we studied other kitabs. Then we came to Bukhari Sharif. What was our niyyat in all this? If it was not the pleasure of Allah, it was to be called an alim or an alima. It was done so that people respect us. Or it was done to earn a living. Then we did not do it for Allah's pleasure. So niyat is the most important. And for us also, our 5 times namaz we make every day. We wear kurtas, for example. We keep our beards, we wear topis. What's our intention in doing this? If it is just to show people that I'm a pious person, what is our intention? When we go to work, we wear casual wear. We wear skippers, with t-shirts, we wear jeans, we wear our trousers. When we come to masjid, we wear kurta. We should examine our niyat. Why are we doing that? Where am I going? So according to that, I dress according to that occasion. So what is our niyat? Everything niyat is the, all actions will be judged according to the intention. The action can be very great, but if the intention was wrong, that whole action is destroyed. And the action can be very insignificant, small, but the intention was correct, it will have great value by Allah Ta'ala. So we should check our intention. Then Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi goes on with the next most important thing, Kitabul Iman. That our Iman is the most important. We Allah has created us for His Ibadat. But before Ibadat, we need ilm, knowledge. Otherwise we cannot make Ibadat. If we don't know how to make wudu, we don't know what things break our wudu. For example, one Maulana, in our country many years ago, in one small country town, he made Asr Namaz. And after, at the end, he made Sajda Sahwa. So the people asked him, Maulana, we didn't see anything going wrong in the Namaz. For what you made Sajda Sahwa? The four rakats we made, and there was no delay, everything was done properly. So he says, little wind went out. So I made Sajda Sahwa. So Sajda Sahwa is not going to correct that Namaz. So we have to have the knowledge of Deen. Well, if we don't know what breaks our wudu, what breaks our namaz, we may be making namaz whole life, but we haven't got knowledge. So knowledge is before. And we can have knowledge also. And the ibadat, the masjids are there, our musallas are there. Everything is conducive to making the ibadat of Allah. But if we haven't got iman, that conviction in my heart, then also we won't. How many of us, we got knowledge of deen, wudu, namaz, everything. And the facilities are open, masjids are open, adhan is given, everyone is invited to come, nobody blocking us from coming, but how many of us don't come? The weakness of iman. So iman is very, very important. And today, unfortunately, we make some effort of acquiring the knowledge of deen, of establishing masajid, and the masajid are functional properly. The cleanliness of the masjid, toilets are clean, wudu khana is clean, it's conducive for ibadat, everything. But for iman, what effort? Each one ask myself, what effort of iman am I making on myself, on my community? And as we know, the imam or the imams, they will say, I'm responsible for the namaz here. But he is also responsible for the iman of himself and the community also. The mutawallis will say, we are responsible for the masjid. And what happens in the masjid and everything about the madrasa, all the madrasa property, everything. We are responsible. But who of us think we are not? We are responsible for our iman and the iman of everyone else. And without iman, you can have knowledge of deen. You can have all the facilities, but you won't be practicing. So iman is very important. And in that is also very important and a very burning issue, not only in one town or one country, throughout the world. There's the mixing of the genders, man and woman mixing. Today in the masjids they are mixing. At madrasa classrooms they are mixing. The people, wherever, the ustads, the apas, and the papas, they all mix also. And after that, you get the unwanted babas also that come. And all this is just swept under the carpet generally, because it's a very, very delicate issue. But it's an ongoing thing in the world. At the moment, two big alims of the UK are preserving one a 15-year sentence. And one a 7-year sentence in the jail, found guilty of molesting the girls. And all this, and who? Our alim, good alims. So this mixing is a very dangerous thing. So we must be very careful. We can have a beautiful garden, and if we are not concerned of removing the weeds from that garden will become a jungle overnight. If we don't take out the weeds and we allow the weeds to grow, that beautiful garden with all its features will become like a jungle. So it is very important that all the wrong things, and this is a common thing, everywhere. Inshallah, it is not here, but everywhere. It's a common thing across the board. Boys and girls meeting. And one person, in fact, told me, now he has graduated as an alim many years ago. Say when he was attending an Islamic school, during the breaks, the boys and girls would play soccer together. Now, in an Islamic school, and boys and girls playing soccer together, and sitting together in the classroom, no parda in between. So what will happen? As our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, if butter doesn't melt in front of fire, it's not butter. It's something else. If a man does not melt in front of a woman, when he's close to a woman, he's not a man, he's something else. And if a woman, it doesn't melt in front of a man, then she's not a woman. Allah has kept those feelings in every person. And therefore, Allah gave the laws that don't come in close contact. Don't even unnecessarily hear the voice of the opposite gender. When it's necessary, then it is permitted. But otherwise, don't come anywhere close. And today we are dismantling all these laws. So it's very necessary to correct. Anyway, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh has explained the whole of deen in his kitab. And he comes then to the end. He started with Kitabul Iman and he ends with Kitabul Tawheed. The oneness of Allah Ta'ala. And that is very important. Iman, a person can have Iman, but he has to have Tawheed also. You believe in Allah, but you believe in idols also, na'uz billah. Then that is you got Iman on Allah, but you're believing in idols. And the idols, in modern idols, are in a modern form. For example, if we come here Fajr time to the masjid, and the mutawallis have put idols here in front on the Qibla wall side and made of gold, and they tell us that these idols will do all your work or we will go up in arms. Take out this idol, haram. How can you put idols in the masjid? They take them out and they melt them and they make them into Kruger rings. And the next day at the door of the masjid they give out to everyone, take this crooked wrench, it will do all your work. You'll be able to buy your house, you'll be able to pay off your bond, you'll be able to buy your dream car. We'll say, yes, that's true. Just when it came in a different form. The same thing in a different form, we accept it. When it comes in a bare form, naked form, we repulse it. We don't accept it. But now when it's just camouflaged, we accept it. So we have to see that our Iman, the Tawheed in our Iman must be there. And that is an absolute necessity. So Imam Bukhari, Allah blessed him, inspired him. He explained the whole of deen. And at the end he has come and taught us that Tawheed. Do everything only for Allah Ta'ala. Today, for example, we want to run the affairs of the town. But we want to keep the peace in town, make everyone happy. And we don't keep Allah's happiness in mind. We are not here to keep the people happy. We are not here to keep the peace in town. We are here to maintain the laws of Allah Ta'ala. And what Allah wants us to do, that is what we have to do. Not what we think is expedient, what is suitable. And the sad part, we associate ourselves with pious people. My Shaykh is of this caliber. And I have this association with my Shaykh. We are on very good terms. My Shaykh respects me, or he respected me, has passed away. He regards me, he had great respect for me. But we do complete opposite what the Shaykh does. What he wants and what we do are two different things. So that is not a Tawheed. Tawheed is that we do what the Shaykh, what the Sharia, Quran and Hadith wants us to do, we do that. And we should also understand the greatest rights that are upon us are the rights of our parents. More than anyone else, our parents' rights. Second after that is our ustad of our deen who taught us deen, his rights. And the third is our sheikh, the sheikh through whom we do our islah and we correct our way. The highest status and the biggest rights are of the parents. After that, the ustad. And third is the sheikh. So Allah Ta'ala explained about the parents. وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Even if your parents tell you to do something wrong, don't do it. So when you are not allowed to do what your parents, who have got the biggest right, then what your ustad tells you, if it's wrong, you can't say it's my ustad. And you can't say it's my sheikh, I can't go against my sheikh. No, see the commands of Allah. As long as your ustad and your sheikh also to guide you on the commands of Allah, follow him. Otherwise, leave the sheikh also one side, leave your parents also one side, leave your ustad, follow the commands of Allah Ta'ala. So this tawheed has to come. And when a person brings this whole deen into our lives, then right at the end, Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah alayh, in his great and wonderful way, brings the hadith, that how will all this come into our lives? By two important things. One is the zikr of Allah, and one is the company of the righteous and the pious. The company of the righteous, for example, a gathering like this that we are in, it comes at the end of the hadith, that if, for example, Allah declares that I have forgiven all those people, they are forgiven. Then the malaika say, but Allah, there was one person who did not come for the gathering. He came to give a message to somebody, or he came and collect the key, or he came and give the key, or something like that. But he just came and he went away. He didn't take part in the gathering. Allah Ta'ala says, he is also forgiven. This is such a mubarak gathering, la yashqa bihim jaleesuhum, that whoever just makes any contact with these people, when we just leaving now, and it's Zuhr time now, so we will be going, for example, to make wudu, or somebody wants to go to the toilet. Other musallis are coming in. We just meet them also. Those who just meet them also, they also will be forgiven by Allah. And this is such a thing, la yashqa. Yashqa, according to Arabic grammar, is fa'al mudari, which refers to the present and the future. Such people will never be shaqi. They will be never wretched. They will be never written out of the books of Allah. So this is a basharat that we will have maut on iman, that we'll have a wonderful life in the qabr just by attending such gatherings. So wherever there are such gatherings, or adini gatherings, and which are on deen, and we take part in those places where the zikr of Allah takes place, where bayan for our islah and of deen take place, and they are all in the parameters of deen, not where there are mixed gatherings, not where videoing is taking place, not where any other haram is taking place. It's such gatherings, la yashqa bihim jaleesuhum. What a great, and that is for every participant in that gathering. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh brings that now, the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, and he says that to bring this reality, there are two words, kalimatan. In other words, he's making, the hadith is teaching us, your deen is not so difficult. It's only two words. Two words are not much. Like when the Quraysh asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he gathered them on the Mount of Safa, and he gave them the da'wah of Islam, he says, I've got one word to present to you. One kalima, la ilaha illallah. If you accept that, the world will become your slaves, and you'll be the leaders of the world. They said, not one, we are prepared to accept 10 and 100 such things. But when he said, la, all the idols, make them one. La ilaha, negate all the idols. Wad Allah. You can have 360 idols, majority, and they are plenty, but they are nothing in front of one. Al-Wahidul Qahhar. Al-Jabbar, Al-Wahid, the one and only Allah, he is everything. So hand over everything to Allah Ta'ala. So just two words to reach Allah Ta'ala, kalimatan. And these two words are such that not difficult at all. That habibatan ila Rahman, they are loved by Allah Ta'ala. These two words, to say them are very easy. And they are loved by Allah. A person might think, sawali muqaddar, that when Allah loves something, must be something very heavy, something very great. So immediately after that, it is told, خَفِيفَتَانْ عَلَى اللِّسَانِ. They are very light on the tongue. They are not tongue twisters. They are not difficult to say. Very easy on the tongue. Very much loved by Allah. And Allah, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ. Allah loves to make things easy for you. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ. That Allah doesn't want to make anything difficult. So the two words only you have to do. Do those two words. And they are loved by Allah, very easy to say them. And for further than that, when they are so easy to say, it looks like it won't have value. Because they are so easy, they are simple words. If a thing, something, you say the value of it is only 5 rand. You think, what I'm going to get for 5 rand? 5 rand, I won't get anything. No, they are so easy to say, they are so simple, but very valuable. ثَقِيلَتَانْ فِي الْمِيزَانِ. They are very, very heavy in the scales on the day of Qiyamah. What are those two words? So read all. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallahim azim. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanallahil azim. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanallahil azim. A person who reads this 100 times a day, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala feeds the entire creation by the barakat of these words. Allah give us tawfiq. A person who reads 100 times a day, Allah forgives all his sins, even if they are equal to all the form of all the oceans of the world, Allah will forgive him. A person who will read this, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will make him mustajabud da'wat. His du'as will be readily. Just to say Subhanallah bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. We should try and say this at least minimum 100 times every day. So that is now the nature, the crux of everything. By the zikr, by saying these words, Allah will make all, without having learned Bukhari Sharif, as you can see there's 2 volumes, how much it is. And it's not possible for all of us to study the whole of Bukhari. But by this 2 word we will say, Allah will make the teachings come into our lives. We will practice upon deen. Allah will bring by the barakat of it, Allah will bring the whole of deen. The zikr of Allah is very valuable. In the Quran Sharif, Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkurullah zikran kathira. O you who believe, make the zikr of Allah Ta'ala and make it in abundance. For no other command of Allah has any time the word, the adjective, kathira been used. Not for iman, not for namaz, but for zikr, zikran kathira. And the most command that has come in the Quran Sharif of any command of Allah is for the zikr of Allah. And then in so many ayats that zikr, kathira, do it in abundance. After making zikr in abundance, that also is not sufficient. وَسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. And read tasbih also, mornings and evenings. In other words, every morning and night read your tasbihat also. Or at least all the time. Morning and evening can refer to all the time. Make وَسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. If you will do this, make the zikr of Allah. هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَلِّي عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah will send salawat on you. His special mercies upon you. وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ. And the farishtas of Allah will send their special mercies upon you. وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَىٰ. By the barakat of this, you will go out of darkness, out of porn, out of laziness of namaz, out of your anger, out of all your dirty habits, out of all the zulumat, darkness, and you'll come into the nur of Allah Ta'ala by the barakat of it. So Imam Sahih Bukhari has given us the solution how to get these 2 thick volumes of Bukhari Sharif in your life by kalimatan, habibatan. لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَقَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. And it is Allah's way. It is His habit. It is His want. It is His nature that is very merciful with the believer. One Sahabi asked another Sahabi, how is it that I see When you enter your house, malaika are welcoming you, they're giving you du'as, they're helping you, like taking out your shoes, holding your hand. When you come out of your house, I say the malaika, when you're sitting down, they are there helping you. When you get all the time the malaika, he says, no big deal, you also can do it, just make the zikr of Allah. Allah said that the malaikatahu, they will be with you and giving you du'as all the time. So the zikr of Allah, and as mashallah our qari sahib recited, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as-sadiqin, the company of the righteous and the pious. Two things if we will do, simple, enjoyable, easy, no expenses, and the whole of deen will come into our lives. For us like that, to bring the whole of deen, we know, just to get our namazes regular, we have a problem. To do every day our tilawat is a problem. To read Yasin Sharif every morning is a problem. We do it where we slip up again. We get again a bit on track, again we fall off. But just do the zikr of Allah regularly and just keep the company of the pious and Allah will make everything easy. The two volumes of Bukhari Sharif will come into our lives. May Allah give us all tawfiq, accept from us all, inshallah. May Allah accept the efforts of Mufti Adam and his other ustads with him, the students, the Jamaat, or Marlborough Jamaat, the Mutawallis, all the community of Marlborough, and let it go from strength to strength, and always to be conscious of removing the weeds also, so that our garden can be a real chaman, a true garden, a wonderful garden with no weeds in them. Otherwise it won't be only weeds, afterwards snakes will come in also, scorpions will come also, and that garden will be a place that a person will dread to go. So we must be very careful to always do our maintenance in our spiritual gardens also. Read the Durood Sharif. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen, سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. Oh Allah, accept this khatam of Bukhari Sharif. Oh Allah, save everyone and save this noble gathering from the evils which are within us, oh Allah. Oh Allah, purify us by the barakat of this gathering, by the barakat of Bukhari Sharif. Oh Allah, let Islam flourish in the world. May Allah protect Islam, protect the Muslims, oh Allah, in Palestine, in Syria, in Sudan, oh Allah, the Rohingya Muslims and the Uyghur Muslims, throughout the world, wherever Muslims are in difficulty, remove all their difficulties. Giving them the upper hand over the enemies, O Allah. Protect Islam from the attacks which are coming from outside and the attacks which are coming from inside. Protect Islam and preserve the pure Islam which we had given to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which are taught till today in our madaris. Let it not be confined to the four walls of the madrasa, but let this Islam come in the whole world, in our public and private life, in our businesses and our homes, O Allah, in all aspects of our life. Bring the whole of deen. O Allah, forgive us all our shortcomings. O Allah, shower us with your special mercies and blessings, O Allah. O Allah, whoever is ill in whichever way, especially spiritually, remove all our illnesses, O Allah. Those who are in financial difficulties, remove their financial problems. Those of us who have got qadha namaz, qadha rozas, whatever else we are owing people, O Allah, make it easy for us to sort out all our matters, O Allah. Those who have got fights and arguments, remove them, O Allah. Whether it is on the matters of deen that we are arguing and fighting, bring us all on haq and let us unite on haq, O Allah. O Allah, remove this idea which is being promoted that we must have peace even on with batil, even with shaitan, but we must have peace. Peace is only on the haq, on your teachings, O Allah. Bring us all truly, correctly, onto your teachings, O Allah. And let us have the unity which we all want, O Allah, which you have commanded us with, O Allah. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا يَا مَوْلَانَا إِنَّكَ أَنتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَبَارَكَ وَسَلَّمَ تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.